بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن ولاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. Respected honored scholars, علماء, حفاظ, elders, beloved brothers, mothers and sisters, and those who are listening over the receiver, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise is due to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Peace, blessings, salutations be upon our leader and master Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, to commence this evening's program, we call upon our respected muadhin of this masjid, Sheikh Hassan, to recite a few ayat of the Quran Kareem.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين صدق الله العظيم.
جزاك الله أحسن الجزاء. Respected friends and elders, there is no stage in the life of a human being, and in particular in the life of a believer, that a person could become complacent in his progress and his achievement. In essence, the effort to better ourselves, to improve ourselves, is unending. It's a lifelong effort. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ Allah says, continue worshipping your Allah until death overtakes you. And really, when a person has that desire to better himself, to improve himself, then wallahi, he will learn from all circumstances, whether positive, whether negative, everything will leave him impressed. You know, like in English, they say so beautifully, that a positive thinker finds an opportunity in every difficulty, and a negative thinker finds a difficulty in every opportunity. Let me repeat that. A positive thinker finds an opportunity in every difficulty, and a negative thinker finds a difficulty in every opportunity. Sayyidina Luqman the wise, one day somebody came to him. Allah Ta'ala dedicated one entire chapter of the Quran to Luqman the wise. One day somebody came to him and they told him, oh Luqman, you are so wise, you are so famous, you are so intelligent, you have such wisdom. Where did you learn this from? Where did you learn mannerism and conduct from? He says, I learnt it from those who lacked it. Where did you learn it from? He says, I learnt it from those who lacked it. People said, elaborate, what are you talking about? He says, when I had seen someone doing something wrong, I said, you know what, that looks wicked, that looks despicable. So that is what I should avoid. If he looks evil to me when he does it, I guess it will look evil to others if I do it. So he says, I continued in life. On the reverse, you and I, we will look at the faults and the flaws of others, and yet the propaganda goes, that man is sitting in authority, he's abusing his authority. Only to know that Allah puts me in that position, I am worse than the one who sat before me. So what happens? We are not learning from the whole thing. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? Adabani Rabbi fa ahsana ta'dibi. That my Allah raised me, my Allah nurtured me, my Allah tutored me, and Allah perfected my nurturing. Now the ulama have categorized, when we look at adab and respect, really this is something that has become void in this ummah. Like the words of Ali ibn Abi Talib. There is an entire book that has been devoted and dedicated to the couplets of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, وَلَيْسَ الْيَتِيمُ الَّتِي قَدْ مَاتَ وَالِدُهُ وَلَيْسَ الْيَتِيمُ الَّتِي قَدْ مَاتَ وَالِدُهُ إِنَّ الْيَتِيمَ يَتِيمُ الْعِلْمِ وَالْأَدَبِ. A orphan is not only the child that is deprived of a biological father, but he says that child who is deprived of an Islamic upbringing is also an orphan and equally requires your sympathy. That child who is deprived of an Islamic upbringing is also an orphan and equally requires your sympathy. Now the ulama have categorized, you know, respect and adab in various categories. First is respect towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, respect to the noble personality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, respect to the a'imma, the jurist. And this is why we have gathered today, the topic that we have selected for discussion. This is a two-part series. Inshallah, our respected Mufti Saab will speak about the wisdom of following a madhab. And the reason as to why we have selected this topic. Unfortunately, what we find today, there is a sinister motive and a sinister agenda by certain individuals to drive people away from the madhahib. And we find in this very city, I spoke about this on Channel Islam 2 or 3 weeks ago, there is a certain group that has arisen in the city. Allah Ta'ala protect us, Allah protect one and all. They consider themselves, they call themselves Quraniyun. They say that we only believe in the Quran. We only believe in the Quran. You find another group say that we only believe in the Quran and the Sunnah. We need to go directly to the Quran and the Sunnah. So we find these different groupings have mushroomed in our community. And we need to protect ourselves. We need to be guarded. And we need to understand what we believe in. Really respected brothers, like Hassan Basri used to say, he says, لَوْلَا الْعُلَمَا لَسَّارَ النَّاسُ مِثْلَ الْبَهَائِمِ. Had it not been because of the scholars and the ulama, the general masses would have become like animals. Open Bukhari. What did Nabi alayhi salam say? Amongst the signs of Qiyamah, يُرْفَعُ الْعِلْمُ. Knowledge will be taken away. How will this happen? Allah Ta'ala will take the scholars and the learned away. Recently in this very country, we have seen how many scholars and ulama have left this world. Wallahi, this has left such a void that cannot be substituted. Nabi Ali Salam said, it will come to such a point of crisis because of the lack of competent scholars and ulama. The general masses will be compelled. They will go to ignorant peoples, ignorant individuals, and the ignorant people will consider themselves to be scholars and lead the people astray. This is what we find today. So like I always say, latch on to the scholars, latch on to the ulama. Alhamdulillah, we find in this country, we have great scholars, great ulama. Every city that you go to, you travel to different parts of the world. You know, in fact, I made mention of this a few days ago also, that there was a brother that contacted me after Ramadan. He said that, Maulana, in this entire city, in America, there wasn't one hafiz to lead the Taraweeh Salah. We find in this country, Alhamdulillah, every town, every city, you know, you go to, there are plenty ulama, plenty huffaz. Let us sit at the feet of the scholars and the ulama. Let us respect the ulama. What was the respect that the a'imma had for one another? Unfortunately today, like I said, there's a sinister motive to drive people away from the a'imma. This was not there to create division in this ummah. The Shafi'i madhab, the Hanbali madhab, the Hanafi madhab, the Maliki madhab. This was not there to create a division in this ummah. Unfortunately, some people have taken it to one extreme. I remember about 2 years ago, one sister called me and she said that, Maulana, you know, somebody has proposed to my daughter. So I said, what's the matter? She says, no, we follow the Shafi'i madhab. He follows the Hanafi madhab. Can I give my daughter to that boy? So, you know, we have taken it to that extreme. This is not there to create a division in this ummah. We all know, as Mufti Saab will explain to us inshallah, when Imam Abu Hanifa passed away, that is when Imam Shafi'i was born. And Imam Shafi'i, he goes to pay his respects, you know, by the qabr of Imam Abu Hanifa. And in that locality, he performed the Fajr Salah. According to the Shafi'i madhab, in the Fajr Salah, they normally recite the Kunut. So Imam Shafi'i, he omitted the recitation of Dua Kunut. Somebody told him, a great scholar like you have omitted the recitation of Dua Kunut. He says, I am standing on the land of one of the greatest scholars of Islam, Nu'man bin Thabit, Imam Abu Hanifa. That was the respect they had amongst themselves. Who are you and I to open our tongues and our mouths against these great sahaba, these great personalities? So respected brothers, the topic of discussion today is the wisdom of following a madhab. The reason as to why we follow a madhab, and many people have been asking this question, that why don't we go directly to the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salam? We find Bukhari, we find Muslim. You know, why can't we go directly to the ahadith? Why do we have to follow a madhab? So inshallah, this is the first part series today inshallah. And tomorrow at the Amplanga Masjid after the Isha Salah, Mufti Saab will speak about the history of the madhahib. How did the madhahib originate? How were they put together, etc.? I'm sure many of us have a lot of questions. Like I always say, we find generally after such programs, we find people, you know, I call it post-mortems. People go outside and they start dissecting the lecture. You know, Mufti had mentioned that, but you know, the correct opinion is this. So if you got any question, alhamdulillah, Mufti Saab is always very accommodating. Whatever questions you have, a humble request, you could either write it on a piece of paper and forward it to our respective Imam, Maulana Rawat, or you could either send a SMS. Alhamdulillah, this program is relayed over the airwaves of Radio Al Ansar. So those listeners who have any questions after the talk, you could forward your questions to 082-8422-786. 082-8422-786. 082-8422-786. Respected brothers, we don't need, our respected guest needs no introduction, but alhamdulillah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has been using Mufti Saab for many, many years to serve this beautiful deen. Mufti Saab was the senior ustad at Darulum, Newcastle, where he taught hadith and fiqh for 20 years. And for the last 13 years, Mufti Saab is the in-house mufti of Channel Islam International. And Mufti Saab has traveled extensively, both locally and abroad. In fact, in the recent past, Mufti Saab has been to Iran, he's been to New Zealand, he's been to Canada, he's been to the Maldives, he's been to Sri Lanka. So alhamdulillah, Mufti Saab has a wealth of experience. He's an ocean of knowledge. In fact, I personally, Mufti Saab has been a great inspiration, you know, to myself and to many, many greats, many scholars and ulama. And there are many ulama that are sitting here who have studied at the feet of our respected Mufti Saab. So inshallah, without further ado, I call upon our respected Mufti Saab to address us. So like I mentioned, inshallah, after the discourse, whatever questions you have, a humble request, if you could write the questions down and forward it to our respected Imam Maulana Rawat, or if you prefer, you could forward your questions via SMS to 082-8422-786. Jazakallah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Honorable ulama, respected elders, brothers, mothers, sisters, the esteemed listeners of Radio Al Ansar, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of this universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we have heard the topic for tonight, the wisdom of following one of the schools of jurisprudence. We belong to the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, when we discuss the primary sources, we say it is the Quran Sharif first, and the second primary source is the Sunnah and the sayings and actions of Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as enshrined in the Quran itself in so many places. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu atii'u Allah wa atii'u Rasul. O you who believe, that be obedient to Almighty Allah and be obedient to Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Various ayat. Let us start with the topic itself. Every Muslim believes we have to follow the injunctions, the commandments of Almighty Allah jalla wa ala mentioned in the Noble Quran. Secondly, Almighty Allah jalla wa ala sent Mustafa Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an uswa and qudwa, the best role model, example for humanity and posterity. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Now, my honorable brothers and listeners of Radio Al-Ansar, let us take three verses, and this will solve a lot of problems. قُلْ, you tell them, O Mustafa Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. If you love Almighty Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Then you, the Ummat of Muslimah, you follow me, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To understand and to appreciate this word, honorable brothers and listeners, you see, ittiba. In English, you will say, to imitate immaculately. When you go into the philology of this word, you have a cow. And when that cow gives birth to the calf, that calf is called tabi' in the Arabic language. Why is it called tabi'? Because it follows its mother everywhere. So we are told to follow Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every walk of life. Not only in salat, in our political life, our social life, economic life, all walks of life. فَاتَّبِعُونِي. What will happen? What are the benefits? Almighty Allah knows human being is such. Ya Allah, I will do that. But what are the incentives? Yuhbibukumullah. You become the beloved of Almighty Allah. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. And your sins will be forgiven. But did Almighty Allah confine it to that only? No. Deen of Islam is for all times and all places. So Almighty Allah mentions yet in another place, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Those people who brought Iman, who brought Islam, the first and the foremost, مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ, the migrants and the helpers, and those who followed them. So for us, the Ahlul Sunnah, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالْجَمَاعَةِ, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, is enshrined in the Noble Quran. So we follow Mustafa Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have to follow the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ, and those who follow the Muhajirin and Ansar, who embrace Islam. So you have to follow them, Quran says, radiyallahu anhum wa radu'an, with sincerity, and Almighty Allah will be pleased with you, and we will be pleased with Allah. Is that all? No. Then we go to the third verse. Wattabi'. You see everywhere the same word is used? Ittiba'. That, wattabi' sabila man anaba ilay, and follow the path of those people who turn towards me. So what do we learn from here? We have to follow Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to follow the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in, the beloved companions and students of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to follow the path of those who turn to Almighty Allah jalla wala, whether you call them awliyaullah, whether you call them fuqaha wa hadhil ummah, the jurors of this ummah. So these are verses at random I just chose for tonight's topic, and I gave you a brief explanation. Let's go to authentic ahadith. If a person says, I heard Mohana Venkar mentioning, that in our beloved country, South Africa, now we have a group that they say we must believe in the Quran Sharif only. One day on Channel Islam, I got into big problems. You know, sometimes we get into trouble because we want to answer some people. So one brother announced on another radio, that on TV or whatever, many years ago, he said that this woman wearing this niqab and all that is not mentioned in the Quran. Subhanallah. If it's not mentioned in the Quran, does it mean we must reject it? The question came to me. So I took his name because I wanted to make my point very strongly. I said, Mr. ABC mentioned somewhere that the niqab is not mentioned in the Quran, so therefore you must reject it. I said, my brother, I want to ask you, make me maaf sometime, you know, but we have to give answers like that sometime. I said, brother, I'm sure you circumcised, you know. So please show me in the Quran Sharif where is circumcision mentioned. So obviously his wuzu broke and he was mad with me. He said, I'll take you to court and a lot of things. You take me to court, alhamdulillah, we got no problem. So brothers, you must remember, this is these people here, that when they tell us these type of things here, it's not in the Quran. So brother, if you're believing only in the Quran, then where you found, you read Isha Salat now 4 rakats, please show me in the Quran where it's mentioned. I can give you 1,000 examples like this. So simple it is. The same Nabi of Allah. Allah says, Ati'ullah wa Ati'ur Rasul. Be obedient to Almighty Allah and Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it means that after the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, Naqal kufr kufr nabashid, Naqlul kufri laysa bi kufrin. It means that Ati'ur Rasul becomes redundant and it is superfluous now. It has no meaning and no relevance. That is what it means then. If you reject the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam, Allah forbid. Almighty Allah says, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ. We have revealed to you, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this Quran. لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. You are in Masjid al-Hilal. Every week you hear, MashaAllah, our honorable ustad and sheikh and teacher came here Monday night. Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni just left today. And they said there'll be a bayan. This is the Arabic language. You need to understand and master this language. لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. Bayan, a lecture. Tabiyin, to explain something in detail. That will be the difference. So your function, O Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Explain to the masses, the public, not only Muslims, لِلنَّاسِ, humanity at large, what has been revealed for them. مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And they must wonder, ponder and reflect. So we must believe in Quran and we must believe in the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That there is unanimity and consensus on that issue. Now let us come to certain ahadiths and I'll give you the references. Irbaz bin Sariya radiallahu ta'ala reports, one day Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam rendered a lecture and then he said that, yeah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us such a lecture like bidding farewell to us, and we were crying, wajilat qulubun, that our hearts were trembling. Then Nabi alayhi salam told us, عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّتِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ أَدُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِسِ. You must stick to my sunnah, and you must stick to the sunnah of who? The rightly guided khulafa. I give you 2-3 easy examples. Your adhan here for Jummah goes 10 past 12, quarter past 12, 5 past 12, Friday. Then a quarter to 1 or 1 o'clock or whenever. The second adhan goes in front of the mimbar, in front of the imam, the khatib, when he's sitting on a mimbar. This first adhan, was it there in Nabi alayhi salam's time? It was not there. But you go to any part of the world today, you see it is happening. Who introduced it? Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. Can anybody say it is foreign and alien to Islam? No. Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafai rashidin. You follow my way and you follow the way of the khulafai rashidin. So already it's showing that the scope is widening. We will follow the master Nabi alayhi salatu salam and we will follow who? The khulafai rashidin. And this hadith here of alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafai rashidin mentioned in Tirmidhi, mentioned in Abu Dawood, mentioned in Ibn Majah. Authentic hadith. If anybody knows the science of hadith. Tirmidhi Sharif's hadith. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam is preparing the ummah. La adri ma baqa'i fi ba baqa'i fikum. I do not know how long I will still be in your midst. So after me, faqtadu bi hadhain. You follow these two. And then Nabi alayhi salam gestured towards Abi Bakrin wa Umar radiallahu ta'ala anuma. So you follow these two eminent companions of mine. Rawahu Tirmidhi, Imam Tirmidhi is mentioned. Is not Nabi alayhi salam telling the Sahaba? Is not Nabi alayhi salam telling the Tabi'een and the succession and the later generations to come? That you follow me and thereafter you follow Sayyidina Abu Bakr, follow Sayyidina Umar and the rightly guided Khalifs. So already your scope is widening. Remember this. Then we go on. We find that among Sahaba, I just give you 1-2 incidents. You know, inheritance is a very difficult science to master. A person came to Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu. He was a master of qiraat, mashallah, wa imam, wa qarisa, bihe muazzin, he read, ahsan to me, ya sheikh, mashallah, he read beautiful Quran. Now, my brothers, that they gave Abu Musa al-Ash'ari some question. These are the A's, these are the A's. Yen mansa duet, this ana mansa bruet. You all know Afrikaans? Brothers in the tail, we can't even make a joke in Afrikaans. They don't understand also. Yen mansa duet, this ana mansa bruet. So one person dies, then the bread goes the other's way. You see? Duet and bruet, yeah. So the person passed away. So they came to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. He worked it out. SubhanAllah, I made a mistake. They went to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. They go to the great Sahaba, Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu anhu. These were the giants. Do we know who's Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? SubhanAllah, if you speak of fiqh and jurisprudence, brothers. I'll speak of this tomorrow, but night came in. I just want. Amirul Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda is there in Madinah Munawwara. The people of Iraq come to him and say, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, we need Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu. He says, how can I give you this? This man is our grand mufti here. Today when you speak of grand mufti, you know, in the Arab countries, Muslim countries and that, I don't say all, but many of them you can say. Grand mufti means you first give them a grain and then they give the fatwa. So, you understand? So, pehle the mufti masail ke batane wale. Ab bhi hai mufti muf ke khane wale. So remember, Iqbal said that. So anyway, honorable brothers, Sayyidina Umar said, how can I give you, I need him here. They pleaded with Sayyidina Umar. Sayyidina Umar said, fine, athar tukum ala nafsi, take Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala who leaves Madinah Munawwara, he goes to Iraq. You know what happens in Iraq? From there, the whole Hanafi school started. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is a Sahabi, the Mufti of the Sahaba. You come to his students, Alqama and Aswad. Alqama and Aswad student Ibrahim Nakhi. Ibrahim Nakhi student Hammad. Hammad student Imam Abu Hanifa. Do we understand what I'm talking, my brothers? You must understand each one of the schools. are connected to the Sahaba, and the Sahaba are directly connected to Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not something they took out from their pocket and those type of things. These were people who were giants. They went to jail. One of the biggest objections I make on the Shias is this, that every day they write in their books, if you come, I'll show you. They say Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad, Allah forbid, they used to make masail and all that to suit the governments of the day. Wallahi, what a great buhtan and accusation this is. They went to jail, they were whipped and lashed to preserve this deen of Islam, my brothers. So let's carry on now. So I showed you ittiba'un Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ittiba' of Sahaba. Ittiba means to imitate immaculately. And ittiba' of man wattabi' sabila man anaba ilay, and you follow those who turn towards me. Now, my brothers, let us go on and see. Now, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah is based there in Kufa in Iraq. The fiqh day is called Fiqhu Ahlil Iraq. Imam Shafi rahimahullah was born in Gaza, Palestine. He comes to Makkah, then he goes Baghdad, he goes in the year 199 to Egypt, in 204 he passes away. Imam Malik rahimahullah, his whole life is in Medina Munawwara. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he wulida bi Baghdad, but wufiya bi Baghdad. He's born in Baghdad and he passes away in Baghdad, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Now, my brothers, what is the reason we say we have to follow a particular school? We say, if you don't follow a particular school, what will be the result and the consequences? 99% of the time you will see, people will end up following their base desires. See, Quran Kareem tells us, I just take two verses at random. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen that person who has made his God his desires? He might have some knowledge. وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. Despite the knowledge, Almighty Allah led him astray. One tafsir is that. One tafsir is عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ, Allah's knowledge. Allah's knowledge is there that this person is gone astray. وَخَتَمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصَرِ غِشَاوَىٰ. His heart is sealed, his mind is sealed, his eyes are closed, his ears are, everything Allah closes. I gave you the best constitution, the greatest Nabi, and you went to follow your base desires. So when we move away from the A'imma Arba'a, then remember that 99% you will end up following your own base desires. Second ayat. وَأَمَّا مَنَ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. And as for that person who fears standing in the court of Almighty Allah, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, and he restrains himself from his base desires. Hawa don't mean our hawa in Gujarati or Urdu or Meman and that, or, you know, the wind, no. Hawa means to go lower, lower and lower. It means that when a person follows his desires, he debases himself, he lowers himself. So, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ, he restrains himself from his base desires. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَعْوَىٰ, then Jannat is his resting place. So, Allah is giving us a prescription. Now see, we just take three examples. In this day and this age, how? Just now I did a program, Maulana and I were present. From here I did program for Voice of the Cave 6 to 7. Mufti sahab, I gave talaq, that person say. He gave talaq to his wife, three talaq. Now please, can I come out of this? I love my wife. It was in anger, a lot of stories, all that. I want you honorable brothers and listeners of Radio Al-Ansar to understand these maslas properly. We, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, say, whether you are Shafi'i, whether you are Maliki, whether you are Hanafi, whether you are Hanbali, there are three talaqs, fi majlis in wahid, whether in one place or over a period of time, all three talaqs are valid. And remember this ittifaq. There is unanimity, consensus according to all four schools. Now see, the person who gave his wife today three talaq, he says, what these Maulvis and Muftis know? I went to my sheikh. Who is his sheikh? Sheikh Google. Who is his sheikh? Sheikh Google. He say, I went to share Google and I checked it up. There are many opinions on this thing here. So what you're doing, what I just told you now, you're going to play with the Sharia and you will look for loopholes. Now see the ramifications and consequences of this. Imam Shafi said three talaq is three. Imam Abu Hanifa said it's three. Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, all of them rahimahullah. You want further than that? Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, in his Sahih al-Bukhari, his magnum opus, he brought the whole chapter on that, that three talaqs is three. So what will you say then? Because you were the person to say. The only people today who say three talaq is one are the Salafis, some of them, not all. And the Shias. The Shias say three is one. So you see where you landed yourself up now? You want to walk away from the madhab, but you want to go join the Shias, or you want to join some other group. Understand? You tell me Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said three talaq is one. We love Ibn Taymiyyah, but remember we will not take his verdict anywhere when it collides with a'imma arba. Why? This is academic discussion, ulama, ikram, and all the brothers, if you understood this, is a big chapter to understand. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, great scholar. We got no problem with that. Some places he made mistakes, and this is one of his mistakes. Now, his greatest and celebrated student is Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. I have the book in my possession, there in home. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah writes, Ikhtiyarat Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, where Ibn Taymiyyah went against the entire Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. One. In that book, he broke it up into different chapters. Where Ibn Taymiyyah went against A'imma Arba, the four schools. Where Ibn Taymiyyah went against the Hanbali school. This is Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah in his book Ikhtiyarat, 103, 104 Masail he wrote, where Ibn Taymiyyah went alone. I want to ask you the question. Is it safer for you to follow A'imma Arba'a or to go with that person who deviated and went on his own, despite his greatness? You think about it. One. Second one, Ibn Taymiyyah is on top. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah is second. Ibn Rajab Hanbali is third. Ibn Rajab Hanbali is a student of Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. I have this book also. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali wrote, in those days obviously, Al-Khuruj anil a'immatil arba'a. To leave the four schools and go do something else, la yajuz, is not permissible. In this day and this age, we must remember we have to stick to the four schools. Otherwise, we will run into serious problems. I give you one example of this talaq. The harm of not following the four schools. Second one. You go to the Shafi's, you go to the Malikis, Hanafis, Hanbalis, Taraweeh time. And what do you see? Each one of them agree on minimum 20 rakats or more. Imam Malik got 36 rakats and all that. What witr 39 rakats. So anyway, you must remember, now we come to our some brothers. They say, no, we want to be freelancers. So now we just read 8 rakats. Go to the Muslim countries, go to the Arab countries and see what the joke has become. The whole Taraweeh Salat is finished. You must remember in 10, 15, 20 minutes, everything finished. The harm of that has happened. Our beloved country, South Africa, we don't say this with pride. We say this tahdithan li ni'ma. To thank Almighty Allah for His bounty upon us here. As Maulana mentioned, you go to any dorpi, any small town, you go to a city, you will find hundreds of huffaz. And you go to the Arab countries, you go to the Muslim countries, you will find very, very few hafiz. Why? Because you don't even read in that 8 rakats the complete Quran. Go and study. Go and study the whole Arab world. You will hardly find 20%, 25% of the total amount of masajid where they complete the entire Quran in Ramadan. So what have you done? Is that your service of Islam? The greatest miracle of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the Quran Kareem, and the month of Ramadan is Shahrul Quran, and you don't want to read 20 rakats, you read 8 rakats and then sit with your lazy boy and watch TV. And you say, I'm following Quran and Sunnah. Is that Quran and Sunnah? You see the mockery you make. So there's the second example. Third example. Yesterday or 2 days ago, I had this question on air. The sister phoned and said, we went to Palestine, we went yay and then, I don't know. We were reading Salat. And the ladies objected, your Salat is wrong and that's a big noise and this stuff. So we listened. So I said, fine. I said, sister, now listen. We belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We take our cue from Quran, from the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam. You want the reference? The Marasil of Imam Abu Dawood, Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba, has brought the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked past two ladies and told them, إِذَا سَجَدْتُمَا فَضُمَّا بَعْضَ اللَّحْمِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ لَيْسَتْ كَالرَّجُلْ فِي ذَلِكَ. That when a woman reads Salat, she must not lift up her posterior like how the men do. Islam is based on haya, shame and modesty. So even in your posture of Salat, you must have that shame and modesty. So therefore, according to A'imma Arba'a, you go to Al-Fiqh Al-Madhaib Al-Arba'a, you go to Al-Fiqh Al-Islami wa Dillatu, you will find all the Madhaib with the Dalail and evidence there. There's a definite difference and distinction. But today people want to say, no, Bukhari Sharif hadith say, Swallu kamara aytumuni uswalli. That Nabi alayhi salam said, read Salat like how I read Salat, finish, everybody must read. How come you left all those ahadith out? They say, no, the hadith is da'if, is weak. So I asked, what is your hadith? He said, our hadith is in Bukhari. I say, where in Bukhari? He said, Umme Darda. So you say, fine. Umme Darda's hadith tells us, Kajil Sati Rajul. That which means that she sat in Salat like the men sat. I ask you a question. Is it better to take the action of a sahabiya or is it better to take a hadith, walau kana da'ifa? Is it better to take a hadith that is weak or is better to take the action of a sahabiya? What do you think is better? Obviously the hadith is better. But you see, when you move away from the madhahib, then you get entangled in all these type of things here. Understand this? So many examples that I can give. They say, okay, now I raise the other angle, the other perspective. Objections on taqleed, objections on following these imams and so forth. So, you know, with awam, with public, they say Allah is one, Nabi alayhi salatu salam is one, our Qibla is one, our Quran is one. So why must we have all this now? Q&A, the Shafi said this, and the Maliki said that, and this said this, and Amal. Just show us one finish and clap. So I say, but you yourself said the Quran is one. So we show you one verse of the Quran. Wa Dawood wa Sulaiman idh yahkumani fil harth. It's one incident. The animals came, the goat, sheep, and they ran amok in a farm. They went to Nabi Dawood alayhi salam, he passed the verdict. Then they went to Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, he passed a different verdict. One incident, these are not ordinary mortals like me and you. These are prophets and messengers. Two different verdicts given for one issue mentioned in the Quran. What will you say then, my brother? One incident, two different verdicts by Anbiya. Allah mentioned it in the noble Quran. So what will you say then? See what Allah says. وَكُلَّنْ آتَيْنَا حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. We gave all of them knowledge. We gave all of them wisdom, everything. Yes, nearer to the truth was Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. فَفَهَمْنَاهَا Sulaiman. The profound understanding we gave Nabi Sulaiman. Just to digress 1 minute. Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam, when he reconstructed Masjid al-Aqsa, he made 3 du'as. رَبِّ هَبْلِي مُلْكَ اللَّهِ يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّنْ بَعْدِي. Ya Allah, that give me such a kingdom that no one must get such a kingdom after me. And Allah accepted this dua. Second dua, see, Uwati'u hukmi hukmak. Whenever I pass a verdict, Ya Allah, it must concur and agree with your judgment. In English, what we say? When you face a difficulty, then you unravel this knot with the wisdom of Solomon. You need the wisdom of Solomon to unravel this knot. Hikmatu Sulaiman alayhi salam. Imagine. So that is the barakat of Masjid al-Aqsa. You brothers, sisters going inshallah Aqsa, they say, I can't go now. I talk too much against them. When I went now, I came from this side and Obama came from that side. So this President Obama came. So they take me inside there and they keep me for 5 hours. And they finish me up. They tell me in big trouble. They tell me like that. So I say, why I'm in trouble? They say, you visit this country. I say, I'm a scholar, so I must visit. You know. A long story cut short, they don't allow me. Man ata hadhal bayt la yuridu illa salata fi. Whoever comes here to Masjid al-Aqsa, no ulterior motive, but to read salat here, kharaja min zunubihi kayomin waladatum. So pure and cleansed you are, like the day your biological mother gave birth to you. The hadith in Musnad Hakim, Sahih Ibn Khuzaimah, various kitabs. So you see Sulaiman alayhi salam. What you will say then? Second objection. They say yes, but you'll say Imam Abu Hanifa said it's halal. Imam Shafi said it's halal. Imam Malik said it's haram. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. You're making them the one who make halal haram. So that is what Quran is condemning. اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. The Jews and the Christians, they took their clergy and their rabbis and they made them goat. Adi bin Hatim radiallahu anhu came and he came with the crucifix, with their salib, you know, with the cross. So Nabi alayhi salam told him, you must take this out. So he took it out, he embraced Islam. Then he said, Ya Rasulullah, the Quran says this, that أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. But we don't take them. We never used to believe that they are gods. So Nabi alayhi salam said, when they make something halal, don't you believe it's halal? They said, yes. When they say something haram, now understand this objection and the answer. Objection is, they use this Quranic verse against us who follow any school, that we are taking them as gods, as legislators. We say totally wrong. I give you an easy example. The Pope this week addressed the Catholic nations and told them abortion is non-negotiable. The Pope in Catholicism, in Christian church, in the Catholic church, is a legislator. He's a shari'. He has the power to make halal and haram. In Islam, that power is vested only, solely with Almighty Allah. Even Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not have that. Ya ayyuhan Nabi, lima tuharrimu ma ahallallahu lak. O Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why did you make haram that which Almighty Allah made halal? When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have that, then how can Imam Abu Hanifa, Shafi, Malik, Imam Ahmad, this great Imam, say, nobody. If you understood Arabic, the Pope, the Rabbi, the clergy, ashari'a. Sheen, Alif, Ra'in, the legislators. We say Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, Ashari'h bilha. They elaborate and explain. Listen to the wonderful statement of Imam Shafi, rahimahullah. Jami'u ma taquluhu al-a'imma. Whatever the scholars and the jurors are saying, sharhul lis-sunnah. It is an elaboration, explanation of the sunnah. وَجَمِيعُ مَا تَقُولُهُ السُنَّةِ شَرْحٌ لِلْقُرْآنِ. And whatever the sunnah is teaching us is an elaboration, explanation, commentary of the Qur'an Kareem. So it is explanation, not legislation. Big difference there is between. Next objection, they say that why don't you follow Nabi alayhi salam? Even on A, just now the question came, that why don't you follow Nabi alayhi salam and you're following Imam Malik and Imam Shafi and all Imam? He said, no. When I say I follow the Maliki school or Hanafi school or Shafi school, it does not mean I'm following Imam Abu Hanifa or Imam Shafi and then per se. No. We're following the Quran. We're following the Sunnah as understood by this great scholar. You see the difference? So we have that confidence in them because they live in Khairul Qurun. Nabi alayhi salatu salam's time was the greatest, then Sahaba, then Tabi'in, Tabi'in. So Imam Abu Hanifa was a Tabi'i. Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad came after that Tabi'in. So it shows we have that confidence in them. So we are not following them per se, we're following the explanation according to Quran and Sunnah of them. Two, three other points, my brothers, why we have to follow a madhab is, we must understand the wisdom. It is a, today if you look at knowledge, people say follow Quran and Sunnah. I say, okay, Let me test you. How much do you know of Quran? Half of these people cannot look inside the Quran Sharif and read. Many of them are not even Hafiz. If they are Hafiz, how many of them even know the words of the Quran? Just put the ayats of inheritance and tell them to explain. You'll see if the wuzu breaks or not. So you must remember this thing. Okay, you say you know hadith. Okay. Come, I test you 10 hadiths. Give me the chain of transmission. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, Imam Muhammad bin Ismail used to sit. And he used to sit in the dars, in the lesson of Ali ibn al-Madini. Listen to these two statements. Imam Bukhari says, I could like challenge every teacher, not because of pride, but you know, we discuss academically. مَسْ تَزْغَرْتُ نَفْسِي إِلَّا إِنْدَ Ali ibn al-Madini. But when I sat in the dars, in the lesson of Ali ibn al-Madini, it was an ocean of knowledge. Ali ibn al-Madini said, إِلْمُ الرِّجَالِ نِصْفُ إِلْمِ الْحَدِيثِ. To know the men, to know the rawis, to know the reporters of hadith, that is half the knowledge of hadith. When we ask this person, you say you know hadith. Tell me how many sanad you know. He doesn't even know the silsilatul zahab, the golden chain. Malik, An-Nafi, and Ibn Umar, that also they don't know. Now go back in our glorious history. There was Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahimahullah. Sheikh Albani, who I met personally, and I got it on tape. Sheikh Albani, rahimahullah, said, لَمْ يُولَدْ مِثْلَهُ بَعْدَهُ. There will never be another Ibn Hajar in this world. But he himself, profound knowledge, but he followed the Shafi'i school. When they had such knowledge, yet they followed Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. Then you come to Imam Ghazali. Such a giant, but he is following Imam Shafi'i. Ibn Hummam, rahimahullah, giant of his time, but he's following the Hanafi madhab. So you see, when you look at the world, today you go, Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni, who addressed you here, when he came to Darul Newcastle, he made it clear, Ana Hanafiyun, I follow the Hanafi school. So these people who have so much knowledge, Quran, Sunnah, but yet they say, no, we must follow these schools. Me and you today, who got 1 inch, 1 centimeter, 1 millimeter, whatever you want to say, 1 drop of their knowledge, and now we want to say, no, we are freelancers, we don't have to follow a school. So it's not a recipe for disaster. You will end up like that person, and we saw this with our own life, in our own life. A person, he touch a woman, by mistake, he'll say, no, I'm Hanafi, because Hanafi, the wuzu don't break. Then he touch his private part, now I'm going to Shafi's, the wuzu will break. Then he'll say, no, I'm Hanafi. Then when blood come out from here, the hand or toe or something, he'll say, no, I'm Shafi. So what you did end of the day, you played with the deen of Almighty Allah. وَذَرِ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَهُمْ لَهْوًا وَلَعِبًا. Leave those people who play with the deen. Deen you can't play with. So my brothers, these were just important aspects I gave. Therefore, I appeal to you from the bottom of my heart, and I say this openly on Channel Islam, Radio Ansar, Voice of the Cape, all the radios I speak on, alhamdulillah. In this day and this age, remember we agree with all the ulama who say it is wajib and compulsory to follow one school and not we go jumping around. Yes, we have respect for all of them. How much respect we get? I made it a mission of my life, alhamdulillah. I said, I will visit all 4 Khulafa's graves. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu buried in Madinah Munawwara. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu buried there. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu buried in Baqi. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu buried in Iraq. I made sure I go there. 4 Imams, I said, 100%, I must stand by their grave and give salam and say, Allah, that bless them and elevate them to the highest rank, and give us a small portion of their knowledge. Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, born in 150. He passed away in 204. He entered Cairo in 199. When we went to Cairo, we went to his grave. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, born in the year 80. He passed away 150. And he's buried in Azamiyah. Go to Azamiyah, you will see Imam Abu Hanifa's grave there. The story Maulana mentioned, Imam Shafi'i came to Azamiyah. Fajr time, he didn't make kunut. They asked him why, he pointed to it. Ta'zeeman li sahibi hadha al-qabr. When you go to Baghdad, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal's grave is there near the Tigris River. And who's buried next to him? The sage of the age, Bishr-e Hafi, is buried there. So we went to his grave. Imam Malik Rahimullah is buried in Baqi. I made sure we must go to all four. So you must remember, we love them. Until today, we make dua for them. They ask, I give you one incident and finish then. So that you can ask after the floor is open. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal was asked, tell us who Shafi'i. You see, you ask me of Shafi'i. Al-Shafi'i ka-shamsi li-dunya. You see, when the sun rises, the world is illuminated. When Shafi'i came, I'm 56 now, next year, 2014, I'll be 57. Imam Shafi'i was only 54 years old. But look at his legacy. Al-Shafi'i ka-shamsi li-dunya. He was like the sun. He illuminated the whole world. He's part of Ahlul Bayt. He's part of the family of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Understand? Go read Diwan-e-Shafi'i. His poetry was a master of the Arabic language. In kana rifdan, in kana rifdan, hubbu ali Muhammadi, fal yashhadi thakalan, anni rafidi. If Shia Azam, if hypothetically Shia Azam and Dad was truly loving Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam family, then let human being and jinnat bear testimony. I, Muhammad bin Idris, am also a Shia. You understand what he's saying? They lie that they love Nabi alayhi salam's family. So therefore, I'm not a Shia. I'm 100% Ahlu Sunnah. You understood? Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, said, his student, greatest student of Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. You students, your teacher is Hazrat Maulana, Hazrat Mufti sahab, Hazrat Qari sahab, Hazrat Qutb sahab, Hazrat Das, Hazrat... We just finish, Alim, we don't even make salam, we run away. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah, says, Ma bittu, I never slept for 30 years. Before sleeping, I used to cry and make dua for my honorable teacher, Imam Shafi, rahimahullah. You understand what is knowledge, brothers? So therefore, we must never forget. I beg you, brothers, we live in time of fitna and fasad. And I make this statement very, very clearly on Channel Islam. The biggest fitna we're facing in South Africa, and Africa and most parts of the world today, is the fitna of the Shias and the fitna. My nephew is here somewhere, Mona Ismail. When I came the last time, 3-4 weeks, I can't remember also, I was in Cape Town. I just tell you quickly. So now I had to address a Muslim school, they took me there. So I looked at the name, I see Ottery. I say, isn't the Shia center here? They say, yes. They all know my voice, but they don't know me. So I say, come, we go. I just took those two youngsters. I say, come with me. I say, Muni Allah say as Mufti AK. You know? Don't go tell them it's Mufti AK. Allah say, AK-47, 8 fat. You know? You understand what? So I just tell them, just keep quiet. So we go there, it was just before, Muharram started before Ashura. So we go there, it's 10 o'clock Friday morning. So we walk in there, Assalamu alaikum. We saw one brother there. He said, brother, how are you? What's this tent here? He said, no, you know, it's Ashura, and a lot of people, and the food, and very good. I say, I believe you got a lot of books here. He said, yes. I say, I want to see these books. I say, you know, I come all the way from Joburg. I want to read about Shia. So he said, no, very good, very good. They gave me 3 books. I gave all the references to my nephew, Mona Ismail. I say, go give it there. The Ustad also wanted it. So go give it there. What things in our country they're distributing, swearing, vilifying, criticizing the greatest people who walked on this earth after the prophets and messengers, the fitna of the Shias. They will tell you, you don't have to follow all this. You just follow Ahlul Bayt. They lie in that. You must remember. Second is the fitna of the Salafis. Who are the Salafis? When we speak of Salaf as-Salih, our pious predecessors, we don't. They out of. That are Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Tabi'in, A'imma Mujtahideen, the Awliyaullah. We got no problem. Today Salafi, freelancer. He says, no way you come with all this. Go to Quran, go to Sunnah. You just, this is hadith da'if. You must leave it out. This hadith weak, leave it out. So I asked them one question. I say, you believe in Bukhari Sharif, 100%. I say, okay. That same Imam Muhammad bin Ismail, he wrote Al-Adabul Mufrad. When he wrote Al-Adabul Mufrad, I went to Sheikh Albani, Rahimahullah, and I told him, Sheikh, he was very sick, very ill. I told him, Sheikh, I can go buy your kitabs in the market. I got some of them, but I want you must give me. He said, fine. So he told his one khadim there. He said, give him Tahrimu Alati Tarb, on music and all, why is haram, and give him that book, Sahihu Al-Adab Al-Mufrad and Da'ifu Al-Adab Al-Mufrad. Imam Bukhari never knew that weak hadiths you mustn't have. Just take it and throw it away. You understand what I'm saying? In Sahihu Al-Bukhari, he took Sahih Ahadith. When it came to fadail and virtues, even Imam Bukhari, Amirul Mu'minin fil Hadith, did not have that same criteria that he had for Sahih Bukhari. And therefore, Sheikh Albani made two parts of it, and he gave it to me personally. So when you say, this kitab we can't accept, weak hadith, this hadith we can't accept. So you have to take Imam Bukhari's work also and say, throw it away. You understood the harm you're doing? I ask you two questions. When Allah forbid, is a terrible example. This person took out his AK-47 and he shot his father. Can he inherit from his father? Can he inherit? The hadith, Al-Qatilu La Yarithu. Al-Qatilu La Yarithu, the person who murders, the person from whom he's inheriting, then he does not inherit. Right? All four schools accept it. If you look at it from a hadith perspective, the hadith is weak. But why everybody accepts it? There's ta'amul on it. All the ulama, fuqaha, practice on it and accepted it. So it shows you have to understand the fiqh of it. Quran says, when you go out to study, لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. You must get tafaqquh in deen. So that is our message, brothers. Final conclusion, your chance will come now. Brothers, it is wajib, compulsory upon us, that we have to follow one school, whether you follow the Shafi school, Malik school, Hanbali school, Hanafi, we got no problem with that. But once you move away, then remember, you are walking on a path that is very, very slippery, and you will end up following your desires, and then it is straight passage to hell, if you look at what Quran is teaching us. And you will start looking for every loophole. There was a scholar, he's buried in Beirut, Imam Ozai. Imam Ozai, rahimahullah, was called Imam Ahli Sham, the Imam of Syria, Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon. Imam Ozai, I went to his grave also in Beirut. Allama Zahabi has mentioned the statement in Tazkiratul Huffaz, Man akhadha bi nawadiril ulama, faqad kharaja anil Islam. You start taking all the rare verdicts of the ulama, you will end up out of the fold of Islam. Now next week, or I don't know when, there's one big music festival coming to Durban. Tomorrow night in Cape Town. And this, I heard it now on the radio, the advertising and this. You know, Voice of the Cape. So this type of thing. So you must remember, people, what is music? These Maulvis and Muftis, they just talk. I know Ibn Hazm. Suddenly Ibn Hazm's name comes. Say, Ibn Hazm says Jais. Say, Subhanallah. He just picked up one English kitab and said, Ibn Hazm said, that is the fear. When you leave, you will look for loopholes. And when you start looking for loopholes, then slowly, slowly. Therefore, Allama Imam Ozai, he said, when you start taking that aqwal and verdicts that are rare and, you know, bothering, so then that person, this fear, he might leave the fold of Islam also. So may Almighty Allah protect our iman. May Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala keep us with the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And may Almighty Allah protect us from the makar and frayb and doka and the deception of the shaitan and all the enemies of Islam.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.
The floor is open. Mulana, you've got questions there on your cell phone. What's the number again, Mulana?
082-8422-786. 082-8422-786. Those brothers that are in the masjid, if you want, you could write your questions and forward it to the front, inshallah. The first question is, Assalamu alaikum. I have heard from a lot of people that certain imams of the haram are Salafis, but why do they read 20 rakats of Taraweeh?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, there is a scholar there in Medina Munawwara, and he wrote a book. that Taraweeh Salat in Masjid al-Nabawi akthar min alfi amin, more than 1,000 years, 20 rakats Taraweeh is going on. Alhamdulillah. So that is the dalil that I'm giving you. But when you go out of the haram, then you will find it's only 8 rakats. As far as the imams of the haram being Salafi, that also is not 100%. Most of them, they follow the Hanbali school in most issues. In some issues, they don't follow the Hanbali school. So remember that if you study their syllabus, you study the system there, most of, if you look at Bin Baz, rahimahullah, I got his old kitabs written by Sheikh Bin Baz. I met him many times, alhamdulillah. He used to write Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Abdullah bin Baz al-Hanbali. Same Sheikh bin Baz. He used to write al-Hanbali. But then when some other brothers came, they took the Hanbali out and they removed it. So in essence, they follow the Hanbali school. You must remember this thing. When we speak, remember, we're not speaking of Haramain only. We speak about all. You just go to Jeddah, you go to Dammam, go to Riyadh, go here, go there and see. Go to the United Arab Emirates, Dubai. 90% of the masjid, you won't find 20 rakats Taraweeh. You'll just find 8 rakats, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, everything finished. Yeah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, finish, Taraweeh, go. This is hadith sahih. Is this hadith sahih? The mockery you're making.
Did Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim follow any of the madhab?
See, brothers, you must understand one point. For us, if you listen to my words, I told you, for people like me and you, is wajib. Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam this, Imam that, they had that knowledge where they could become mujtahids. Whether they were mujtahids or not is a separate issue. Some ulama say Imam Bukhari was a Shafi'i. Yesterday or Wednesday I did Imam Abu Dawood. So Imam, they say he was a Hanbali. But some ulama say they all were mujtahid. So mujtahid means that they would not follow any particular school. But they had reached that level there. They had all that knowledge. Today we don't have that knowledge there. So therefore we cannot re-say because they became that, me and you can do that. Have we got that knowledge? No, we don't have that knowledge.
What is the difference between a ghair muqallid and a salafi?
Remember, ghair muqallid and salafi, there's big difference. If you speak of ghair muqallid, Pakistan, India and that, they swear and they abuse Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik. We saw in Pakistan ourselves, astaghfirullah. You know, they have pan, you know pan, the betel leaf. And then they have that tukdani, you know, where they spit. Sometimes on the tuk dandi, they write the imam's names. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, and they spit inside like that. So the Salafis, alhamdulillah, they criticize maybe. We don't accept Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik. But they don't do some crazy things like this, where they, you know, really revile the imams and curse them and that. So the ghair muqallid is one step more dangerous, you must remember, than even the Salafi.
Can we respect Aimma Salafiyah like Sheikh Albani or not?
You must respect every Muslim. See, Ibn Taymiyyah wrote a book, and especially for ulama, it's very good to have that book. Ibn Taymiyyah said, I don't agree with the imams, yeah. But I will never speak bad of them. Raf'ul malam an a'immatil a'lam. Raf'ul malam an a'immatil a'lam. And he said, his one answer he gives consistent. This imam didn't practice on this. لَأَلَّا الْحَدِيثَ لَمْ يَبْلُوهُ. Maybe this hadith didn't reach him. Maybe this hadith didn't reach him. So we have serious differences with Sheikh Albani. But if you ask me, is he a scholar of hadith? I'll tell you he's a scholar of hadith. I went to Sheikh Yunus, the big Sheikh al-Hadith, now one of the big ulama in hadith in the world today. And I asked him, not once, twice. Once I asked him, Hazrat, kya raay hai? He said, bahut bade muhaddith hai. I want to tell one person who I know. He said, no. So I said, you come with me. Then we went again, and I had to ask in front of him. Then Hazrat gave the same answer. So remember, he's a great muhaddith, but it doesn't mean we accept everything he says. So you must remember, there are certain places we totally reject what he says.
Please explain why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did various actions like raise the hands and then not raise. Many ladies are going for Arabic classes by Salafis, especially our wealthy ladies.
Remember that Nabi alayhi salatu salam was uswa hasana, Quran says. So Nabi alayhi salatu salam, yes, whether salat, whether other actions, who do things sometime differently, Taysir and Linnas, to make it easy for the Ummah. So sometime Nabi alayhi salam raising hand, sometime not raising hand, sometime Nabi alayhi salam reading witr this way, sometime reading witr that way. So all this was diversity in unity. To show the Ummah you can do it this way and you can do it that way, so there is no problem in that. And now one imam came, he looked at all these ahadith, he gave tarjih and preference to that. Another imam came and he saw the other ahadith and he gave preference to that. So that is why Nabi alayhi salatu salam did it, to make life easier for us.
Salam's got a friend who is a Hanafi, but he always only talks about Ahlul Bayt and neglects all other Sahaba, seems like his friend is a Shia and indoctrinates his mind. What should I warn him about?
Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah was asked about the Shias in those days. I told Imam Abu Hanifa was born in 80 and passed away in 150. He said, this is the sign, the alamat of aqid of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Antufaddila shaykhain. You must give virtue and preference to shaykhain, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar. Go and see what the Shias write about them. Astaghfirullah. وَتُحِبَّ الْخَتَنَيْنِ You must love both the son-in-laws. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anh and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anh. They say they love one only. And then, وَتَرَى الْمَسَّحَ عَلَى الْخُفَّيْنِ You make masa on khuffain. You make Shias, they make masa like this. Shias don't wash the feet. On the feet, they just do like this. They just make masa. I went to Iran, I saw it everywhere. Therefore, I don't read salat behind them. So, you must, not for this reason, also many other reasons. They just make like this. See, this came in my mind now. If you don't follow the four schools, you see this kind of socks, our nylon socks and cotton socks and all this. So now, a'imma arba, no one allows. But today, Salafi, they say just make masa like this, is alright. You see the harm. It means when we apply the Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali law, your salat is null and void. Why is null and void? Because you made masa in such a manner against a'imma arba. And when you... Are you telling me, Nabi alayhi salam said, hadith in Tirmidhi, La tajtami'u ummati ala dhalala. My ummah can never agree on something that is dhalala, astrayness. So from Imam Hanifa's time, Shafi's time, Malik's time, Hanbali's time, right till this time, yet 1,000 years have passed. You mean they were astray? Think about it. So you're opening problem for yourself. But we think we are doing something great.
Is it permissible to switch from one madhab to another madhab?
If a person is really someone who's got knowledge and all these type of things, and then he changes a different thing. For example, you know, there are some scholars, they were Hanafi and then they became Shafi, or they became Shafi, then they became Hanafi and this type of thing. So if it is like that, but we today want to do it to suit our base desires. So that is not permissible. For our base desires, it's not permissible. Where is darurat? How can be a darurat? Shafi is say, if the man and woman strangers, they touch skin to skin, huzu breaks. So now on Voice of the Cape, this question comes every year. Hajj time, Ramadan time, thousands of people going for Umrah, for Hajj. They'll say, Mufti, can ek a Hanafi huzu mark? Understand? You all understood what it means? It means that the question literally means, can I make a Hanafi huzu? But now we're used to it. What they're trying to say is this, that when I go to Makkah and that, so can I make intention of the Hanafis that my huzu will not break? So we say, yes, it's permissible. You don't have to practice on your Shafi school there because it's haraj. There's too much harm in that. So by mistake, the feet touches. You know, many people don't have socks, the ladies or the men and what have you. So the feet touch. Or by mistake, the hand touch. There's no gloves in that. So the huzu will break. So therefore, we bring the mazahib in. We say, you follow the Shafi school, but in this particular instance, due to extreme and dire need, you follow the Hanafi school and there's no problem for you. So the mazahib became a mercy for you.
Are the Salafiyya Aqeedah differences major or not?
With the Salafis, we have two big problems. One is the Aqeedah on certain issues and on fiqh on many issues. For example, if you ask the Salafi today, this is a famous thing. Ain Allah. And this is a famous masla with them. That where is Allah? They say Allah was on top. Finish. If you ask them, what is the meaning of this ayat? وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ. For Allah, the east and the west, everything belongs to Allah. فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا. Any direction you turn, فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. There you will find the countenance of Allah. So what is that telling you? You see? So you must remember this. So we have big problems on this issue. But I don't want to now go into too much technicalities. It's on radio and public and that. You know, it's not the Darul Uloom where we're teaching students or something. So these are certain issues, we have differences. Then in fiqh, I gave you all the differences. Now the famous ones and this.
Salams, is it better to follow the madhab of a country you're visiting, an example, Witr in Makkah, the way they do, or read our way as in South Africa?
If you just see my kitabs, they sell it here and all that. So you will find it there. I am very strong on this. And I always say that when you go to Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Munawwarah, or any other country for that matter, and they're reading Witr, two rakats, they make salam, and then they read one rakat, you must follow the imam. Among our ulama, Indo-Pak ulama, I give you the names. Hazrat Mufti Ashiq Ilahi, also our ustad. I asked him personally, he said permissible. Hazrat Allama bin Nuri rahimahullah, I made Ramadan with him. He saw, Hazrat used to see us reading. 100% permissible. And Ma'arifu Sunan is written there. Allama Kashmiri rahimahullah, permissible. Written in Arfu Shadi. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Gangohi rahimahullah, permissible. If you want reference, go ask Mufti Ibrahim Saliji of Ispingo Beach, he'll tell you. If you want another one, Mufti Taqi Usmani, who's coming now, you can ask him when he comes. So all this they say is permissible. So we don't agree with any alim on this issue that a Hanafi must read Fajr, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Taraweeh behind the Imam, and Witr come, Hanafis go and make their own Jamaat. We don't agree with that. We say follow the Imam. I was now in Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is mostly Shafis. So if they read, they are Asr 4 o'clock, and Maghrib is 7 o'clock, example I'm giving. So we read Yasar with them. We got no problem with this type of things there. Sometimes we want to be more Catholic than the Pope. You understand? So we also sometimes, you know, don't go to so much extreme also.
Respected Mufti, what is your opinion regarding those who study in universities like Medina University?
I always tell people that I would not advise you just to go directly to Medina University. Now, we were in Newcastle, Jalsa. One student came to me running and he said, I want to go Medina. I asked him which year, he said in 5th year. I said, no, you can't go. If you ask him, I'm Ashura, you can't go. You finish your 6th year in Darul Uloom, you finish your course, then you go to Medina, it's fine. So my advice, any youngster, not only Medina, any one of these universities in the Arab world, in it, that is not healthy for you to go just as a Hafiz or matriculant and you just go like that. You don't have anything that is strong and solid. So what they will do, you're going like a sponge. You're going like an empty chalkboard and they will just write. So it's very dangerous sometimes. So rather you study locally, have a solid background, and then you go and study. We went for Hajj, I can't remember, 4 or 5 years ago. The ambassador was our brother Sheikh from Cape Town. So he arranged it. South African ambassador was Sheikh Khabir from Cape Town. He arranged it. He said, we need 12, 15 ulama and we will make you all qazis. In 2 weeks they gave us qazi certificate. They made us all judges and everything. You understand? So first time I'm selling people in public anyway, so this type of thing. So in 2 weeks, so the first lesson set. In Riyadh, any alim here who was with us? Nobody here. Chalo. So we sat in that first lesson. So the ustad is teaching this and all. So he said something and this. I picked up my hand. So he said, what? I said, Sheikh, you are our ustad, you're teaching us. That usul you're teaching is right, but the hadith you're telling us is wrong. You couldn't believe, you know. These guys, they're not Arabs, this day. They're just coming and tell me the hadith I'm quoting is wrong. Then I told him, you see, this hadith you quoted is in Tirmidhi's Kitabul Ilal. And if you read the ibarat, Imam Tirmizi said, كُلُّ مَا فِي هَذَا الْكِتَابِ فَهُوَ مَعْمُولٌ بِهِ إِلَّا مَا أَدَى الْحَدِيثَيْنِ. Everything in this kitab, we can practice on. But two hadith, you can't practice on. None of the Imma Arba and other imams practice on it. And he quoted that hadith. That way you combine Zuhur and Asr, what the Shias do? You combine Zuhur and Asr in your hometown. You go to Tehran, you go to Shiraz, you go to Isfahan, you go to Kashan, you go to Qum, everywhere I went all this. Zohar, Azan go, they read Zohar. After Zohar finish 5 minutes, they read Asr. Maghrib Salat, 20 minutes after Azan, after sunset, they give Maghrib Azan. After Maghrib, then they read Isha. And this. So the hadith in Tirmidhi says, min ghairi matarin, wala safarin, wala maridin. There was no rain, there was no sickness, there was no journey. So no one accepted. Now he quoted that hadith. So he looked at me and he said, anta min al-muhaddithin. I said, no, we students here, we're learning from you, Sheikh. The usul you gave is right, but the hadith you quoted is wrong. So why I'm mentioning this? Now, if you go blank, and they tell you that, will you swallow it or not? You will swallow it hook, line, and sinker. So if you got some background, so then you can speak. And this type of thing. That is what knowledge is about. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, is Bukhari Sharif hadith. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away walam yahtalim. He was not even baligh. He was 12, 13 years old. But he became hibru hadhi al-ummah. He became tarjumanul Quran, the greatest commentator of Quran. They asked him, Abdullah, how you became so great? He said, inni sa'ulun wa aqul. I used to ask a lot of questions and I used to use my intelligence, he said. You see? So you must ask. Now how are you going to ask if you don't have any background? So therefore, personally, I don't advise people, just matrik, send them over, hafiz, send them over, and this type of thing. Have some, mashallah, South Africa, we got so many Darul Uloom, study here, and then you go. So no problem.
Is it permissible for a Hanafi to join between Salat on a journey?
Remember, Hanafis, you can't join Salat on a journey. What you can do is this, that you know that Zuhur time ends, I'm just giving time at random, at 3:30, Zuhur time ends. Then at 3:35, 3:40, Asr time starts. So at 3:20, 3:25, you read your Zuhr Salat. And when you finish 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 4 minutes, you pause. And then you read Asr Salat in the beginning time. So that Jama Suri, Jama Fa'ali you do. But that you can. But to bring Asr in Zuhr time, or to take Zuhr in Asr time, or Isha in Maghrib time, Maghrib in Isha time, that Hanafis don't allow. Only in Arafat and Muzdalifah they allow it.
Do our ulama meet with Salafiyya ulama? Who is Sheikh Shinqiti?
We meet. I met Sheikh Shinqiti myself. Sheikh Mukhtar Shinqiti. Alhamdulillah, we try and take good from all the ulama. When I have to meet Sheikh Umar Fallata, how I do with Sheikh Sabahsabuni, the whole world so, mashallah, in the Jalsa also. I was telling the ulama, the people present, that I said, you see this Honorable Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni, our Ustad, that he is the ustad of the imams of the haram. Sheikh Salih bin Humaid, the senior imam of the haram, 31 years, he's the imam. So, Sheikh Sabuni is his teacher. Sheikh Usama Khayyat is 17 years imam of the haram. Sheikh Sabuni is his teacher. So, Sheikh, he say, wa anta min tilmizi, and you my student also. He's telling me. So, I went to him and kissed him on his forehead in front of everybody. So, whenever I meet him, he knows I do that. There was a muhaddis there in Masjid Nabawi, African, from Nigeria, Sheikh Umar Fallata. So, 49 years he taught hadith in Masjid Nabawi. Whenever we used to sit in his dars, we go, we kiss him on his forehead, then we sit down. Or after dars, after lesson, we... So wherever we get good, we can take it from there. But it don't mean we agree with you on every issue. That don't mean that. We will take the good from you, but we will not agree with you. So a big difference between that.
Salams, I have heard that Imam Bukhari has ridiculed Imam Abu Hanifa.
Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, was a master of hadith. Imam Abu Hanifa was a master of fiqh. So Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, some places, the word ridicule is wrong. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, some places, he raised some strong points against Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, and the ulama, they wrote books as answers and knowledge. Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, You see, Sheikh Sabuni addressed you. He's from Halab, from Aleppo. He was born there. When he was 29 years, 30 years, his beard was black. He came to Makkah. He's in Makkah now 55 years. So he's 85 years old now. So Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, born in Halab, Aleppo. So he came and he also, then he made khidmat of hadith, hadith, hadith. He passed away Riyadh. See, Allah, I give you honor, even at that time. You see, this man, he made so much khidmat of hadith, bring his body, they buried him in Baqi in Medina Munawwara. So Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, he wrote all the objections which Imam Bukhari rahimahullah raised, and he answered it all. I got the book at home. So you must remember, this is academic discussion. What you will say, the person who asked this question, what you will say, you said Imam Bukhari rahimahullah, the word you used, ridiculed Imam Abu Hanifa. Okay? Now you, the same brother, you know Arabic, because if you answered it, tomorrow, tonight, go to Sahih Muslim, go read the Muqaddama of Sahih Muslim. Imam Muslim is the student of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah. Go see the objections Imam Muslim raised against Imam Bukhari rahimahullah in the Muqaddama of Sahih Muslim. What you will say? That Imam Muslim ridiculed Imam Bukhari? No. We will say it was academic discussion. And when he saw Bukhari, he said, Ya Bukhari, Ya Muhammad ibn Ismail, Da'ani uqabbilu rijlaik, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin fil Hadith. He said, Oh my Ustad, please give me the permission. I kiss your hand, I kiss your feet. You are my Ustad, but I differ with you on this earth. That was academic discussion.
Salams, what does Mufti Saab think of certain strange practices that we witness in the month of Muharram, which are not found in the four Mazhabs?
All that is Shia propaganda. The problem is our people become half Shia in Muharram. There's the problem. When we were in Pakistan in the 70s, we never saw all these things there. So in the 70s, we were there in Karachi, Muharram came, the bioscope, the cinema, they take a big black cloth and they put around the bioscope. What's this? They say, no, bioscope be ro raha hai. The bioscope also is crying for Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. What shaitaniyat is this? Then the matam is going on, taking chains and hitting and all these type of things there. So you must remember, our people also, they get influenced by the Shia propaganda. You must remember this. Shia propaganda is so rife, you must remember that, that people don't even know that they're following what the Shias do. See, I give you one, two examples. You mustn't confuse what I'm saying. You go home now after the program and ask your wife, ask your mother, your daughter, who are the grandchildren of Nabi alayhi salam, the most famous? Straight away they will say, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein. I reiterate. I'm not saying to say Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein is haram or makruh. But I want to ask you the question. Why you say Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein? Why you don't say Imam Abu Bakr, Imam Ali, Imam Umar, Imam Usman? You see, the term Imam came from the Shias. So therefore, rather me and you, we belong to the Ahlu Sunnah. So change the term, use the word Nabi alayhi salam used. Al-Hassan wal-Husayn, Sayyida sab shababi ahli al-Jannah. Authentic hadith in the name. Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Husayn. You understand the point I'm making? So we must use our terminology. Our ulama used Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein. Our great ulama, we don't say it's haram. But when the Shia use the term Imam, it means Imam Ma'asum, the infallible Imam. They're the Imam. I brought books, Wallahi, I'm in a masjid, it's light of Jumu'ah, Wallahi al-Azim. If you come, I'll show you. They wrote in the kitab, this is the Shia belief. Number one, Almighty Allah. Number two, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number three, the 12 Imams. So Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Jafar, Imam Baqir, Imam Jafar, Imam. They greater, Allah forbid, this is kufr itself. They greater than Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Greater than Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Greater than Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Do you understand what I'm saying, my brothers? Understand what they say, these people. So this is, so now our people, they just follow. But So definitely all that is rejected. We don't have big majlis in Mubarak and majlis in Muharram and everybody cry and Fatima ki kahani and what kind of stories they got.
No problem. With 30 or 40 more questions.
Subhanallah. Just take a few there.
If the Salafi threat is serious, then why meet them when they are only critics of our madhab? And why give them respect more than what they deserve?
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a mercy to the entire creation. We didn't learn from Nabi alayhi salam. Go read the hadith of Sumama bin Usal radiallahu anhu. Sumama radiallahu anhu was captured by the Sahaba. They fastened him there with a pillar. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is standing with a sword. Ya Rasulullah, give me permission, I behead him now. Nabi alayhi salam said, have you given him food? Usama is wondering, yeah, they want to kill me. Nabi alayhi salam is speaking. Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam tell him, become Muslim. He said, no, I won't become. One day, he's there in Masjid Nabawi. He sees the salat, this. Second day, third day. After 3 days, Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam tells Sahaba, leave him, let him go. This man came to assassinate, to kill Nabi alayhi salam. Here Nabi alayhi salam leaving. He went out, everything, took ghusl, everything, and he came back. And then he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammad abdu rasul. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Sumama, I told you bring iman, then you don't bring iman. They said, ya Rasulullah, I should have brought iman that time. People should have said, Sumama brought iman. Because the safe, the sword was there. I want to show, I brought iman, not min khashyati saif, not because of the fear of the sword. I went out, you gave me permission, you gave me asylum also, and I came back and brought iman, min khashyati Allah, out of the fear of Allah. You understand? You can't win people over if you don't mingle with them and win them over. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُ. You have to be soft with people. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظًا لَنْفَدُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. They all will run away. How many people were Salafis? How many people were Shias? How many were there? When we speak to them, maybe they don't become 100%, but we leave that thought in their mind. They start thinking that this man is talking sense. When I went to Iran, that Safiullah Khan, you all heard this story. 7 years in Masfam, 6 years in Azhar, 15 years in Qum. I sat with him for 3 hours. And I told him, Sheikh, that you die now. I pass the fatwa on kufr on you. You must remember. And he was really shaken by that. Whether he becomes Sunni or not, I don't know. But we have to meet the people. We have to discuss with them. We have to try and win them over with our akhlaq. So if you... I ask you, the brother who asked this question, what you will say of this hadith? They asked Nabi alayhi salam, you meet all these non-Muslims and all of them, so much ikram you showed them. Nabi alayhi salam, Bukhari hadith this. Nabi alayhi salam said, وَإِنَّ قُلُوبَنَا لَتَلْعَنُهُمْ. Our hearts curse them, but we meet them. If somebody had to say this today, our people will say, you hypocrite. So, you understand what I'm saying? So we have to mingle, we have to associate. You can't just speak against them and no. That's why we always say, you want to debate, come, we debate, no problem. Anybody. I say it only 100 times. You Qadiani, you Shia, you Salafi, you this, you that. You come to debate, come, we debate. I give you our airways. No problem.
Assalamu alaikum. What is Mufti Sahab's opinion on a well-known celebrity who appears on television and on your radio station and is given a platform in our masajid? Should we listen to him or not?
You see, this is a loaded question. So, see, we all know who we're speaking about, right? You know and I know. When they ask me, must he speak? I say, the decision is yours. If you want my decision, let him speak. You understand? Do I agree with him on all issues? I don't agree with him. But I rather have him speaking than some other character speaking there who will cause more harm and this type of thing. I went to Sri Lanka. It's Mufti Menk, this question, right? So, let us be honest about this. I went to Sri Lanka. See, I tell you one story. I was so happy when I heard this story. They say, Mufti, you leaving? Next week, Mufti Menki is coming. You understood? And this type of thing. I think this week or next week, he'll be there. You see, these three Hindu youngsters, Hindu meaning Hindu, Buddhist and all this kind of, and they're waiting for Mufti Menk. I say, for what? They say they heard him on the radio and they saw him on the TV and thus and thus. And they love him and they became Muslim. You understand? So sometimes, brothers, I don't agree with him on every issue. Let me make that clear. But one thing I'll tell you is this. You can't take this away from him. He reads Quran beautifully. And his lectures are good also. You don't understand? So if some people are benefiting, some people are embracing Islam and all these things here, so why should I take him off the radio and this type of thing? You understand? I can have differences. I offer the platform to anybody on the, besides Shia and Qadianis. Even Salafis, if they want to come on air, I'll only tell them one thing. Don't go and criticize anybody and don't come and push your school and propagate your school. Just give some advice. We have the program. How many times I did it? That I say that you, I'll give you the airways. We got no problem. So this type of thing. Yeah, in Durban, how many people? We don't agree with a lot of things. But if you want the airways, I'll give it to you. Leave other people. I'll give it to you. And this type of things. Yeah. You understood? Because somebody will benefit. We got no problem with that. But it does not mean we agree with everything they do. You understand? See, our Haji Farooq Sahib, Hazrat Khalifa, rahimahullah, he taught me, that's why you have to sit with the ulama and the awliyaullah. Wallahi, yesterday I said to Hazrat Mufti Rizalak, we sat alone for hours, alhamdulillah. So yesterday I left Hazrat's place 10 o'clock, quarter to 10 o'clock at night. So Hazrat is leaving now for New Zealand on Saturday. With Haji Farooq Sahib, he taught me one sentence. He said that, jiska zarf bara ho, Allah inko bara bana deta hai. Keep little bit big heart also, you know. So no, only I must be on the radio, all those other Maulanas leave them out. You can't do these kind of things. You must allow, sir. When we started Channel Islam, and this whole topic of tonight, so I started there in 2001, so this 22nd January was my first broadcast. Imagine 2013, you know. So I say, Hanafi say this, Shafi say this, Maliki say this. Leave everybody else. Our ulama, they came to the studio, we were in Lens. They say, you're causing a lot of trouble. I say, what? He say, what you want to say, the Shafi school and Maliki school and all? Just say Hanafi school. I say, the whole ummah is Hanafi. Today, the same people, they come, they say, Jazakallah. Because the influx of foreigners, you come to our Jami Masjid, you come to our masjid in Mayfair, you go here, you find more foreigners, Malikis, Shafi'is, this, that, than the Hanafis at this type of thing. So if you don't know anything about it, then how you? So Islam is for all brothers. We can't be so, you understand, that make every whole world must become Hanafi. It won't work like that.
Assalamu alaikum. What is Mufti Sahib's opinion on all Shia kafir? Recently there was a well-known scholar from America, who originated from Syria, who mentioned that it is not permissible to call even a Shia a kafir.
Remember, I say this on air many times. I say our verdict is majority of the Shias are kafir, but we don't say every Shia is a kafir. If you say every Shia is a kafir, then you'll have to say the Zaydis. I went to Yemen, we read Salat behind them, everything. Our difference with them is not on fundamental issues, is on secondary issues. So they are Muslim. If you say every Shia is a kafir, then what's going to happen to all the Rawis and reporters? In Bukhari, they are Shia reporters. In Muslim, they are Shia reporters. In Abu Dawood, they are Shia. What you will say then? That these ulama, they brought kafir reporters. So sometimes we get carried away when we make this. To say majority, you're safe. You must remember that. The isna. Just I break it down quickly. In Syria, this Bashar Assad regime, 150,000 he killed of our people. 100% kafir. There's no. If you got doubt in that, then you also go to the followers. 100% kafir. You must remember that. Second one, this isna Ashariya. These Iranians, and the Isna Sharia. Then majority of them out of the fold of Islam. I told you, I gave you all those lectures already. You just take 2-3 lessons. They got in every big masjid of theirs, where they cursing Sahaba, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Amir Muawiyah. One. Second one is this, that some of them, you must remember, that they don't even believe. I don't say all. Some of them, they don't even believe that this Quran is complete. If you want a reference, I give you their reference. Their greatest work is called Usulul Kafi. Usulul Kafi's commentary is Mir'atul Uqul. Mir'atul Uqul is written by Allama Baqir Majlisi. Allama Baqir Majlisi is their biggest mujtahid. Allama Baqir Majlisi writes, in Mir'atul Uqul, the Quran has got 17,000 verses. Our Quran got 6,236 verses. The Quran has got 17,000 verses. That original Quran is by the Mahdi who's there in the cave. So what fatwa we will pass them? So we must not hesitate in these things. It's open kufr in this type of things. Yeah. Now, Maulana was present. Ask Maulana. I'm sitting at whose house we were, Maulana? Hafiz Nasser's place. And there, this thing, Cape Town. He said, Mufti sir, please tell us about mut'ah. This temporary marriage, they call. What temporary marriage? 100% prostitution. I said, see, Khomeini wrote, in Tawdihul Masail, I have the kitab. You can make 1 hour mut'ah. You tell the girl, I will use you for 1 hour, here's your 100 rand. You don't need no witnesses, she's not your wife, you don't have to make nafaka on her, and you die in that 1 hour, you had your fun, and it was your last one, you know, once tasted, never wasted, you died after that, she won't inherit from you. You understand? And this type of, his wife or his girlfriend? I'm asking you, what you think? So you must remember this. So from their books, all these things there. Sheikh Sabuni, who addressed you now, he wrote a book, Nikahul Mut'ati Haram. In there he quoted, قَالَ الْإِمَامُ الْجَعْفَرَ الصَّادِقِ الْمُتَعِ هِيَ الزِّنَا بِأَيْنِهَا. It's 100% prostitution. Imam Jafar Sadiq said so. So all these kind of things. So how we can call a Muslim in this type of thing? So you must remember, we say majority are out of the fold of Islam. Okay, brothers, mashallah, really lively session it was, and this type of things. So inshallah, our program tomorrow, Jummah, Debe Maulana, Imam Umslanga. Debe go Umslanga, I see a lot of Noor there, you know. So the number plates also all Noor in this town. So this time. Then tomorrow night also a lot of Noor there, inshallah. So if you want more questions, you come there tomorrow night. And this thing, is Q&A there also?
Inshallah, tomorrow the program will be on the history of the Madahib. How did the Madahib originate?
See, brothers, this is another added dimension. You must remember, when I spoke about this, they also threatened me with a lot of things, these people. Quickly, I tell you 2-3 things. I was in Polokwane in Petersburg for a lecture. It was Asr time. They came to me and they told me, come to our school. So I went. Allah just put in my head, I said, bring your syllabus. I want to just see. So they brought the syllabus. I looked at it. I said, who prepared this? They say, our sheikh. I said, this hadith is maudu. It's fabricated. It's a lie. I turn, this hadith is fabricated. I said, we got serious problems with you. And this thing. So that was my first thing. Second, then I go to one, two other places, the Turkish school and this. I see, they say Muslim school, but the student is not allowed to keep beard. You must wear suit and tie, and this type of thing. But Muslim school, and this. Hey, what's all this? You see, if you studied, I've been to Turkey 3-4 times, I can't remember also. If you go to Turkey and read the history, you must remember, Ataturk came and he banned everything. You can't wear hat, you can't have beard, you can't speak Arabic. When we went with a proper guide tour, we had to pay. You know, 20, 30 of us, I can't remember how many. So we went with the guide. So they take us there, take us. Now we go to Topkapi. We're all, you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Mubarak here and all. So I keep quiet. So there's a lady guide. She said this, say this. So I say, why you don't tell the people that Arabic day is all written? Now she look at me. She say, you know, I'm ashamed, but I have to admit, even I can't read Arabic. She is the guide, but she can't read Arabic. I told her, now you keep quiet, I'm the guide now. You understand? So this is our thing. So I will read all and I'll explain to the people and all this stuff. You see what they did. So what happened? Now you start having the Sufi tariqas. You understood? Sufi tariqa, very good some of them. But some of them totally out of, you know, mix up totally. So you must remember, today, in Voice of the Cape, it came. He said there's one group here, they want to play tabla in the masjid. And they make zikr with the tabla. As Maulana was present. And this time of Mufti Sahib, to bring the tabla and all that, and we make zikr in the masjid, is jais? Now I ask you. So when we speak against them, then people say we're speaking. We're not speaking against every group. But there's some groups, they start dancing. They're doing all this kind of thing. How we can say jais, all this kind of things? You see? So we have to condemn them on this level. So, inshallah, brothers, this is our program. Maulana announced it. Does that finish? And the ladies' program Saturday, inshallah. We're going to leave the ladies out. They got their own questions going. You understand? So this type of thing. Ladies, they ask much more than you all, you know. Men, they ask with istikhara first. Men, women, they just make eyes straight. You understood? So, inshallah, brothers, last thing I just want to tell you. Tonight is Laylatul Jumu'ah. Therefore, I read Durood Sharif in the start. Brothers, this is from my heart. Wallahi, you don't know. We love like kings here, you know. Waja'alakum muluka. Wallahi. Show me one brother here who doesn't have 2 meals, 3 meals every day. Ask the Syrian child. 7 million now, 8 million are refugees. Some of them have to sell their bodies to feed their children. I'm not justifying. But Allah must never put us in such a position. Understand that. For me and you to condemn is very easy. But when that mother sees a child dying, you understand? So at least raise your hand and make dua. Myanmar, Burma, go and ask the Muslims what is happening. In front of them, they murder their children, they rape their women, and they burn the masajid. And this type of thing. So we have Burma, Myanmar. We have Syria. We have Palestine. We have Iraq. We have Afghanistan. We have Kashmir. The whole world, Christians, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, whole lot have said, these Muslims, we must eliminate them. And we find our people, some of them joining them. And that are the munafiqeen and hypocrites. Whether they're politicians or what. Brothers, believe you me, we don't have to please people. Wallahi, I tell you, we don't have to please people. Please Allah, you will see what to izzu man tasha, what to dhillu man tasha. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, I spoke about him now. They put him in jail in Dimashq. The people saw he's becoming too famous and very this and that. So they went to the king and put him in jail. They come and ask him, the same people, how's things in jail? He say, Batinuhu fihi rahma wa zahiruhu min qibali al-adab. From where you're standing, I'm in punishment. But where I am inside, Allah's rahmah is coming on me. With coal, koila, he wrote one whole book. In jail. See, brothers? That is what we izzu man tasha, what we zillu man tasha. So, brothers, you must remember, we love like kings here. Therefore, we got also so much masti going, you know, das and all this. We don't know, and Allah must never bring it. We don't have war, we don't have civil war, we have crime, yes, we admit that. We're Tuesday, you're still lucky, Tuesday we have to pay e-tolls, you know? Yeah. So there's a lot of damal still going on. All this, every time I see the toll there, I say, I don't know what we're going to do, you understood? So anyway, all that we're going to do. But I just ask you, I beg you from the bottom of my heart, and I hope you, Rijal Ansar, you're still with us, I hope you're not gone there. So anyway, your sisters also, at least before you sleep tonight. Oh, Allah give tawfiq, you wake up 2, 3 o'clock in the morning and you make dua. Ya Allah, have mercy on this ummah. Ya Allah, protect our iman. If we, without Junaid Baghdadi, if you go by his grave, he's written Sayyidu Taifa. They asked him, oh Junaid, you better or the dog is better? Somebody must come now and ask me. I'll say, you come here, I show you who's better. I'm to astin chara denge. You understand? We will give him such a hiding, he will never ask us. Isn't it so? See, people of wisdom. He said, you ask me good question. If I die with iman, then I'm better than the dog. If I die without iman, even the dog is better than me. You see, brothers? So this is a challenge. Our children, what's going to happen to them?
Somebody go away with a Shia, somebody goes away freelancer, this one goes this way, this one. But we, what are we doing? He told me, now we're ending the program, Voice of the Cape. He said, Mufti, you got 2 minutes, speak. I said, I give you a quick advice. Fathers, holidays are coming. You must monitor your children. It's your duty as a father and mother. And McLinkies, my sons and daughters, it's your duty to make sure, because they're facing a massive problem of drugs there, with the tuck and duck and all these kind of things there. So I said, it's your duty to see where with whom you are mingling. Holiday is coming, so now we just make free for all. So brothers, make special dua for our families, for ourselves, for the entire ummah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها. اللهم انصر من نصر دين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم. اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنبياؤك وعبادك الصالحون, ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنبياؤك وعبادك المقربون. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ, ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم, وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا اجتماعا مرحوما, وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما. جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام, تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. سمعنا وطعنا, غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا رب.